Good evening. It's been a while since I've been up here, and it's a familiar feeling, thankfully. It's good to be back with the brethren here, to be able to stand before you and to present another lesson to you. I appreciate Brother David Gibson allowing me to take this one spot from him. There were some other spots later on in the year that I couldn't fill in for, and I appreciate Donnie and George letting me have the opportunity to fill in for Donnie as well. It is a blessing to be back up here speaking with you this evening. I've had a lot of questions recently about my next step in life, and so I figured that instead of trying to answer every single one of you one by one, I'd fill you in real fast before we get going. In July, I'll be moving to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, to be working with the Fairview Park Church there. A guy that I know that lived in Cookeville has been in this position. I'll be taking over as basically the evangelist intern. It will be very similar to what I did here with Donnie this past summer, except on a much bigger scale, really. It'll be from 1 to 2 years, just depending on how the situation works out. I will not only be preaching on a semi-regular basis, I'll be teaching class as well. That's one thing I didn't get to do here just because of the way it fit in with the class schedule. I'll begin to work on a TV program that they have at Fairview Park called What Is True. It is a pre-recorded program that the full-time minister there, his name is Dennis Caro. He is normally on it, but then the intern will get on it some as well. I'll get to write, which is not really my forte. I'm not a very good writer. So what this is really going to do is give me an opportunity to sharpen my skills. Give me something I'm not very good at in writing. I get to write for 2 publications that they put out on a I think it's a biannual or twice a year thing, and I think they have a quarterly publication as well. But I'm very blessed to have that opportunity. And I tell you, I'm sharing this with you as well, because I want to thank the congregation here. This past summer, whenever I was here, I was encouraged greatly. Encouraged so much on a weekly basis by so many of you. With your encouragements and your prodding, and Donnie's, for lack of a better term, nagging me almost. Asked me, Nick, when are we going to start preaching? All those different kind of things. The encouragement you gave me, the support you gave me, the instruction that Donnie lended to me really helped me to realize that I could do a lot of things in sports, which was my major. Finally graduated college, that's a good thing. But for the fun things, the good things I could do in sports, I think I could do much better things for the Lord. And I appreciate the encouragement that every one of you gave me in that. And I want to thank you. I truly want to thank you. If you didn't know any of this, it's probably because Mitchell has not gotten to you yet. I believe he's trying to pull up some little tricks to steal Katie and send her off to Canada or something before she moves out there with me. But I appreciate you guys very much. If you'll keep me in your prayers as I leave there, sometime in July, I'll be going first to the last week, sometime in there. It just depends on whenever they get their apartment ready. But I appreciate you guys. Keep me in your prayers. Keep my family. Keep Katie and Mitchell and Jeanette, Chloe in their prayers as well. I appreciate you guys very much. I hope this lesson this evening will be beneficial for you. Very practical lesson we're going to look at tonight, and just like some day-to-day living things in our lives as Christians. So let's get into that. Take out your Bibles, follow along with me if you will, please. Four pictures on the screen. Hopefully every person here recognizes at least one of them. Now, when you saw these pictures pop up, if you didn't realize who they were, I'll tell you real fast, so maybe this will help a little bit. Tiger Woods is in the bottom right-hand corner, the red shirt with the golf club. Lance Armstrong directly above him. President Barack Obama in the upper left-hand corner. And Dr. Phil McGraw, famous TV personality, in the bottom left-hand corner. Now, what happened was, you probably never saw these pictures. Some thoughts popped into your head, whether good or bad. Maybe some things, your opinion of some of these people. Some things they may be involved in that you're familiar with. Your image of them, your perception of them, what you feel is their character. And the reason I give these examples is because character and image and perception is something that's important for each and every one of us. And it's a concept I learned in one of my sports classes, and it's the concept of branding. Branding. And so all I want to look at this evening is the Christian brands. How does it apply to us? And how can we have the right kind of brand we need to be pleasing to God? So let's figure out what branding is, first of all. It's a familiar term if you're in the business world, marketing world, but if you're not, it may seem a little foreign to you. Brand, for the basic definition, is anything that constitutes a stimulus in the mind of the consumer that creates equity, which is value or recognition. This equity can either be positive or negative. Some people on the screen that you saw, you might have a very positive opinion of. Their character, their image, the way you perceive them, you're like, okay, I like that. That's a good person. That's a good guy. On the other hand, you might look at somebody like the two athletes that are on there, Tiger Woods and Lance Armstrong, and have a negative persona about them because of things that have happened within their sporting careers. Lance Armstrong, you know, if you follow cycling at all, was wrapped up in a doping scandal, illegal means to enhance his body, his talent. Tiger Woods, off the course, had a problem with adultery, committed adultery multiple times on his wife that occurred a few Thanksgivings ago whenever that blew up. So you may have positive or negative values with that person. It's their image, perception, and character, as I mentioned, and then each individual person displays a brand as well. It is a person's image, it is a person's character, it's how they're perceived. For me, I portray a brand to you. And whenever you hear my name or you see my face or I walk in the door, there are certain thoughts that pop in your head of my image, the way I portray myself to you, how you perceive me, my character. My character. So that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about this concept of Christian branding. And I don't know if you know this or not, but this is actually a New Testament principle. It is. Pretty cool whenever you start to look at these certain things. That is something that was taught in Scripture. John the Baptist taught it, believe it or not. Whenever the Pharisees and Sadducees came to John as he was baptizing in the wilderness, they came for his baptism. And he said, "Brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath that is to come?" He knew that in their hearts they were coming for this baptism. The baptism that they were coming for wasn't anything of honesty. They knew that their followers were going to John for this baptism. They're like, well, if they're going, we don't want to lose our followers, so we should just go too. So it was false actions. It was dishonest actions. And John called them out on that, said that they needed to bear fruits worthy of repentance, not just be baptized to look good in front of their followers, but they needed fruits worthy of repentance. Jesus taught branding. He said, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Their actions would make them known, would show their true character. Paul taught it as well. He said in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, we'll take a closer look at this in a few minutes. He, in the little subheading of your Bible, it probably says, behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Keep that in mind. He also, the Philippians, that they needed to be filled with fruits of righteousness. And finally, James taught that one having heavenly wisdom would portray good fruits of righteousness as well. So this is something that is rampant throughout Scripture in the way that a person should be branded, the brand that they should give off to others. Not only that, but there were Bible characters that had brands, believe it or not. We looked right then at New Testament teachings, but there's many people in the Old Testament that had brands that preceded them. For example, Noah. How was Noah known? He was known as a just man, perfect in his generations. Not only that, but David was known as a man after God's own heart. Whenever people think of David, that's what pops in my head, a man after God's own heart. Job was blameless, upright, feared God and shunned evil. If you remember, whenever God was gathered together and Satan approached God, God said, do you know my servant, my servant Job? And goes and tells him about these things. Job's, his brand preceded him. And people knew how Job acted and knew what kind of character he had. Solomon was very wise. So wise, in fact, that people from all around him would come to hear his wisdom, to try to gain some knowledge from him. But not only that, we know as well that Solomon loved foreign wives. And that was his biggest fault he had, and that was talked about much in Scripture as well. Saul of Tarsus, a good New Testament example. Remember after he was baptized by Ananias, Damascus, that he went to the synagogue to preach and to teach and to learn. And the people said, who is this? Saul of Tarsus? This is not the man that takes women and men and drags them to prison? His reputation preceded him as well. People knew what kind of character he had. People knew the brand that Saul had at this time. They knew that, and that scared them. So branding is very important, very, very important. Let's figure out what the Christian brand is so we can really get into the heart of this lesson. What is the Christian brand? It's two words, obviously, Christian and brand. So what is a Christian, first of all? Very familiar to us, but breaking into two words, or into two different, two sections. Christ, obviously, being Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God. We see Peter proclaim that Matthew 16 and 16, the phrase in, Christian, meaning plainly, belonging or relating to, just a good part of speech. So when we put those together, we see a Christian is one belonging or relating to Jesus Christ. Belonging or relating to Jesus Christ. Let's remember brand now. What was brand? We talked about earlier. It was a person's image, a character, or the person's image, the person's character, and how they are perceived by others around them. So we take a Christian who is one that is belonging to Jesus Christ, and we take this word brand, which is a person's image and character and the way they're perceived by others around them. We put those two together, and we came up with my own little definition here, being when a person's image and character are perceived by others to be like Jesus Christ. When a person's image and character are perceived by all those different people around them, the people they meet day to day, whenever they know that I am like Jesus Christ, whenever my character and my image portray those things, that is having the Christian brand. Let's look some more. Let's realize this though as well. This is something that's very important. Let's recognize that there is such thing as false advertising. This is everywhere in our world. This idea of false advertising. It's a biblical thing too. It's in the Bible. People who are false advertisers. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, whenever Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave this judgment scene to those that were there with him. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." There were those who thought they were Christians, who tried to act like they were Christians, but they had nothing but the name, really. They said, "Lord, we did all these different things in your name." But God said that wasn't enough. False teachers, and right before this, Jesus describes them as wolves in sheep's clothing. They gave off a false image. They tried to act like they were sheep, they were part of the group. But in reality, they were ravenous wolves who would come in and destroy faith, tear it down, and try to build it up as something that was not right in God's sight. The Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus, as he is just tearing them apart in Matthew chapter 23, describes them as whitewashed tombs on the outside. They look great. They look like somebody just came in there and cleaned it all nice and good, and they're looking really pretty and good. You know, that's probably a place I would want to be buried. But what were they inside? Dead man's bones. Looked great on the outside, but inwardly, they were filth, they were disgusting, they were reviling and dirty. And finally, the church in Sardis. Everybody remember in Revelation chapter 3, church in Sardis. What does John write about them? He says, this church had a name that it was alive. Had a name that it was alive, but in reality, it was dead. False advertising. They said they were alive. They said they were good and thriving for God, and they were on the upward way, and they were doing what they needed to do. But in reality, what they were is they were dead. Giving off a false image, false advertising. What are the biblical characteristics of Christians then? We obviously don't want to be false advertisers. I don't think anybody here would willingly want to put on the name of a Christian and then live as a heathen in this world. I don't think anybody here would purposely want to do that. So how can we give a good biblical, or what are the good biblical characteristics of a Christian? Paul, of course, the one who we remember was Saul. And whenever he went to Damascus and he was trying to be in the synagogue with them, they were scared to death of him. The man whose reputation preceded him, obviously, because they knew what he had done, he wrote a lot about branding. And he, in the many epistles that he wrote, he talked about this a lot. He said, whatever we do must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do it as a Christian. Do it as something that will be approved by Jesus Christ. Do it in His name. Do it by His authority. Paul himself said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that it wasn't even he that was really living anymore. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I can't think of a better definition of having a true brand that is that of a Christian than it not be even me that's living anymore, but in fact is Christ. Remember, a Christian brand is having an image or character that is perceived by others around me as being that of Jesus Christ. Paul himself said, I'm not even doing anything for myself anymore. I'm not making the decisions. The things I'm doing are for Christ and Him alone. And he wanted the brethren in Corinth to imitate him. Not just imitate him because he thought he was something. Once again, it's him dying for Christ to live. And he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But that's how we should live, have that Christian brand. And remember I told you we would get back to this in Romans chapter 12. Turn there with me quickly. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. A little subtitle here, and I would say the majority of the Bibles in the auditorium this evening will have this heading of behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Let's see how Paul writes to the Romans of how they should be. What characteristics does he say are becoming of one bearing the name of a Christian? He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. I've paraphrased these on the screen behind me. Look at all these different things that the way that Paul describes how Christians should act. Christian characteristics, how they should behave on a day-to-day basis. Love without hypocrisy, cling to what is good, be kind and affectionate. If we go through every single one of these things, I think if someone was to mention my name, if the name Nick Angel was brought up, if these are the things that pop in people's head concerning me, I think I'm doing things right. Don't you think so? I would say so. I would love for these to be the kind of things that are said about me whenever I die. And they're having my funeral and everything, and they're sitting around talking about me, or whoever is preaching at my funeral. I hope these are the kind of things that are said about me. Do you? Whenever your time comes and we're remembering you as a person here on this earth, are these the kind of things you want to be said about you? Yes, no, maybe it's okay to nod your head. Yeah, I would. I was at a funeral a month or so ago. Her dear sister from North Hickson, where my parents attended, her name was Charlotte Jones. A beautiful person. Beautiful person. I miss Charlotte dearly. These were the types of things that were said about her. And that's how I remember Charlotte. The brand that she gave off was written right here in the Scripture. And it was a beautiful thing to be together with other Christians and to celebrate her life and the example that she was to us. For she truly portrayed the Christian brand on a daily basis. And it was awesome to be a part of that. Sad to see her go, but grateful for the example that she was. Are these things that can be said about us? If not, how can those be said about us? Let's look at that. Let's look at that now. Let's look at four concepts of the Christian brand. This is straight out of school, basically. This is the only thing I can remember from school. I can remember this and one other thing called, I don't even know right now, so that's how much I learned. But this one thing to me is very, very important because I can apply this in the most important aspect, which is in a spiritual aspect. And it's really awesome to look at these things and to see the development of a Christian brand within a person. So what are those four things that are the concept of a Christian brand? These are four things that it takes to make any brand, whether that's of us as a Christian, whether that's a company, whether it's just an individual's brand of themselves out in the world. These are four things that are known universally of how you develop a brand. So we can take these exact things and we can apply them straight to Scripture. Let's look at them now. The first thing you have to do in creating a brand is you have to create the Christian brand. Then you need to develop it. You need to market that brand. And finally, you need to protect that brand. These are things that coincide perfectly with this concept of the Christian brand. And we want to look how we can make these things happen in our lives. So first of all, how do we create the Christian brand? We need to recognize something that anytime there is a brand that is created, any invention, anything that is created, whether it be a friendship or relationship, anything, normally it's not created if there's not a need. Normally it's not created if there's not a need. Example, you could take a single guy, and if he feels no need to date anybody, if he feels no need to get married anytime soon, he's not going to create a relationship, is he? But once he feels that need, he'll try to find a girl to create that relationship with. Same thing with this term Christian brand. If we feel like we're self-sufficient as we are, if we feel like there's nothing that is needed, there is no holes within me as a person, if I'm just a person out in this world and I feel as if I have no needs, that I'm living my life right now and I'm perfect and I have nothing lacking, then this brand is not necessary in their minds. So in order for us to create the Christian brand, what has to happen first is we need to have a realization that we have a need. We have a need. As human beings, we have a need. Scriptures teach in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that it's not within man to direct his own footsteps. As human beings, we can't direct our own footsteps and be pleasing to God. It's not within ourselves. We don't have the mental capacity or the knowledge, the understanding to do that within ourselves without God. One reason for that is we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 is very clear about saying that. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin is deserving of death, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. So there's a need at this point. There's a need for reconciliation to God, is there not? There's a need for that. And once we are able to humble ourselves enough to understand that there's a need for reconciliation, that's whenever we can create this brand. That's whenever we can create this new image, character, this new perception to others around us, is whenever we realize there's that need. That's whenever we can do that. The only way to life is through Jesus Christ then. That's the only way to life. In Romans 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. The way we can be reconciled back to God once that separation has occurred because of our sin is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. So how do we do that? We do that by putting on Christ, by becoming a Christian, putting on this Christian brand per se. We see a great example of that happening in Acts chapter 8, whenever Philip is taken away to the Ethiopian eunuch, to the Ethiopian treasurer, the one that is over King Candace's treasury. We see him going down the road in the wilderness, and Philip coming to him, he's reading there. Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's like, "How can I?" Somebody explains. So it says at this point that he stopped and he read this scripture to him, and it says that he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. And what does that involve? As we look through here, these different things, these notes I have from sermons I've heard Donnie preach on this. Obviously, at this point, as he's teaching him Jesus, he's hearing those things. He must believe them, because once he comes down to this water, he realized that here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me from becoming a Christian is what he's asking. So at this point, he's heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in preaching that gospel, he realizes that he has sinned. For that's the whole reason Jesus Christ came to the earth, was to save sinners, was it not? He realized he needs to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as we see him doing there with Philip, and he was baptized. At this point, he did what was necessary to become a Christian. We know that because whenever we're baptized, we begin to represent Jesus Christ. We represent Christ through his baptism. And we realize as well that this isn't just a one-time thing. This isn't, I'll become a Christian and it's done at that point. No, it's a lifetime commitment, as we see on the screen. It's a lifetime. It's something that we must do for the rest of our life. In the world of sports, people begin to endorse brands, per se. If I was going to endorse Nike and I was going to represent their brand, I might write out a contract for 5 years. And I might, wear their shoes or clothes or whatever for that time. And once it was over, I can either re-sign with them or I can go to another brand if I don't like their stuff. With Christianity, that's not the way this works. This is a lifetime commitment that we make to represent Jesus Christ. And I don't think sometimes that people understand. They don't understand the seriousness of what they're doing. We'll talk about that, though, in a few minutes. But after we've created this brand, we've put on the name Jesus Christ, we've been baptized into his death, and we have put him on, at this point, we need to start developing that brand. We need to start developing that brand. There shouldn't be any satisfaction for us with just having the name Christian. Just being called a Christian should not be enough for us. Because in reality, that doesn't do much. Just being called a Christian doesn't do much at all. Once again, the church of Sardis, remember that they were said to be alive. They were said to be a thriving church, but in fact they were dead because their actions didn't portray a righteous church. The scribes and Pharisees, that whole time in Matthew 23, whenever Jesus has rebuked them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." All these things, and for 30 verses, he lays into them. And he begins that little section there by talking to the multitude. Said, "These people here are your spiritual leaders." He's like, "These people, the scribes and Pharisees, are the ones that you depend on for your spiritual health as your leadership. Let me tell you, they're not what you think they are," is basically what Jesus says there. He goes through and calls them hypocrites and condemns them for multiple things. So they had the name of the righteous leaders of the Jews, but Jesus knew who they truly were, and he let the multitudes know about that. We need to grow our Christian brand. We need to develop. We need to make it better. We're commanded to grow, in fact. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, Kevin did an excellent job this morning on his sermon talking about this verse. And we can look to that. I won't do it for the sake of time and to repeat things he said. But he read through those things on the way that we should build on our faith. We should build it. It shouldn't be a one-time thing where we have our faith and it's done. No, we need to build on it. We need to realize that complacency kills. Remember another one of the churches that was talked about in Asia, the church in Laodicea? How were they described? They were described as a lukewarm church. They weren't hot and they weren't cold, but because of that, they were lukewarm, God said, "I'm going to spew them out of my mouth." They were complacent. They were complacent in their actions. The Corinthians were rebuked in the third chapter there as Paul's writing to them for still being mere men. Not Christians, not new righteous beings, but still being mere men. They had not grown whatsoever. We have to grow towards spiritual maturity. We have to make that decision to do that. The Corinthians and the Hebrews were chastised almost, and as Paul writing Corinthians and whoever it was that wrote the book of Hebrews, which I guess this would be one evidence of it being Paul. Whenever he writes in Corinthians, it sounds very much like what is written in Hebrews, where he says, where you should be growing at this point, you should be teaching in Hebrews, but you can't teach yet because you still need the milk of the word. You can't handle the difficult things. And that's almost exactly what it said whenever Paul writes to the brethren in Corinthians as well. He says, you're not growing. You are still babes in Christ. They were complacent. They were not developing their Christian brands. Hebrews 5 and 14 basically says that as a mature Christian, I can represent God better. I can represent Jesus better because I can discern what is good and what is evil. A young Christian who doesn't know any better can't discern that, and their actions and their dealings might not show Christ, because they don't know anybody, because they're young still. That's the importance of growing. Growth comes from study, meditation, and prayer. Once again, hitting on some of the things that Kevin went through, so we'll run through them quickly. It takes a conscious decision to do these three things, to study, to meditate on them, and to pray. It is impossible to know what you're to do if you haven't ever learned to do it, isn't it? Once again, I don't know how to change a motor on a tractor like Mitchell does, because I've never done it before. He knows it because he's learned. He's read. He's studied. He's done all the things with his tractors. I can't do that because I have not done these things. In the same way, I can't know how to be pleasing to God unless I study my Bible and learn. Because 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that the Scriptures can complete me. They instruct me in all ways of righteousness. We need to study, but not just study. We need to meditate on these things. We need to meditate. It requires, it's one thing to just read through the Scripture. I can sit here and I can read Acts chapter 5, first verse to the last verse, and then get up and walk away. And just read through it. I can even read out loud. I can do this and walk away. That's not good enough, really. We need to meditate on it. And the reason meditation is so important is because it requires personal evaluation and application. That's what meditation is. It's taking the things that we've studied, that we've learned, and seeing where it needs to fit in our life. It's not just hearing, but it's doing. As it says in Philippians 4 and 8 and 9, Paul tells them that you need to be not just hearers, but doers of the word. A cool passage in Deuteronomy 32:44-47. This is right after Moses has been told that he won't lead, that he's about to die and such, and Joshua's going to be the new leader. In chapter 32, the preceding verses of this is the song of Moses. It's the song of Moses, and that's recorded for us. And after this, it says that they get the rest of the children of Israel together. In verse 44 of Deuteronomy 32, so Moses came with Joshua the son of Nun and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel and said to them, now listen here to this, very important. Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe. Not just read, but to observe, to put into action. All the words of this law, for it is not futile. It's not something that's just of no importance. It's not futile thing for you, because it is your life. It is your life. Brothers and sisters, this is our life. Is it not? This is our life. These things that we study, we don't just need to read through. It's fine for you to want to read the Bible from Genesis to the last verse of Revelation, just read through it in here. That's cool. Go ahead and do that. But in doing that, are we meditating?
Are we truly taking it in and understanding these things? Are we observing it? The point is the meditation. Also, prayer. Prayer is so important for us in order to have the ability to represent Christ. James 1, 5 and 6 says, if you lack anything, ask it of God. I may struggle in a certain way of representing Christ. I may struggle in that aspect. I may not be very good at it yet. But how do I get better? Through study, through meditation on that study, and most importantly, through prayer. Ask anything of me in faith. Ask anything of God in faith that will be granted to you. If I need help understanding, if I need help to act as a Christian, to portray the Christian brand to others, I need to go to God in prayer and ask for those things. And I am most confident that God will bless you and grant you that prayer to represent Him rightly. And finally, this Christians have a standard to live up to. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, I wish I could be there right now. But since I can't be there right now, I'm going to write you these things so that you should know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. Not how you should conduct yourself just in the church building, but how you should live your life as a member of the family of God. That's what we need to do. We need to develop our Christian brand so that we know how to live as a member of the family of God. Next, we need to market that Christian brand. These first two are really the development stages. They're the first two things that need to go into play as our lives as Christians. We need to first realize that we have a need, and we need to create that Christian brand through baptism, obedience to God and to Christ. And then we need to start building on that brand. We don't need to be complacent, think that we're okay just because we're a Christian, we have that name. We need to start growing those things. And finally, once we put together a good product, we need to start showing the world those things. We need to let the whole world know, if I build this really cool product, if I build this pair of shoes, and I'm thinking, okay, there's no good running shoes out on the market right now. This is like Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. He started selling shoes out of his trunk, the trunk of his car. Started selling shoes like that. He realized there was a need for good running shoes. And so he started developing good running shoes, selling them out of the trunk of his car. He's like, you know what, we need to go bigger. And so he took his shoes to the world. And now you know Nike is one of the biggest brands in the world, the biggest industries, and they make so much money because he followed this. As a Christian, we have a need, and we realize we need to develop ourselves as Christians. Now let's show the world what the Christian brand is. We need to display our brand as a Christian. We can't reap the benefits of being a Christian. In other words, heaven. We can't reap that benefit of heaven if we are scared to display Christ. Christ says if we deny Him before men, He'll deny us before the Father. Our brand is determined by four things, really, I can think of. There might be others, but these are the four basic things. Our speech, our clothing, our friends, our lifestyle, the way we act. Those four things, in a nutshell, show off our Christian brand. In those four aspects, are we doing things the right way? That's how we market our Christian brand. Are we saying things the way a Christian should say them? Are we wearing our clothes the way a Christian should wear them? Are we picking the right friends that are going to help us get to heaven? Or are we picking ones that are sending us the wrong direction? And finally, the way we live our lives, everything besides those three things, basically, are we doing it the way that Christ expects us to do it? That is how we market our Christian brand, is just basically how we live and what we do. Our actions should reflect Christ. That's the whole idea of the word Christian, if you think about it, to be Christ-like. Belonging to Christ means living a life that would reflect Him. Christ lived in Paul, we talked about that in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He also said in Romans that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Regardless of what was going on in this world at that time, he was going to be consistent in his servitude to God, regardless of who was around him. He stood before kings and rulers and high places, saying the same thing every time. Regardless of who he stood in front of, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He would declare it to them. Brethren, this world we're living in today is a wicked world. There's a lot of wicked things that are going on right now. But as Christians who have put on Christ, we can't back down from these wicked things. We have to stand up for God's truth. Not just that we don't say anything at all, but we actually stand up and say, no, this is sin and this is wrong. Anybody catch the very last verse in our study of Romans this morning? The very last verse there in Romans chapter 1. We were talking about the sins of the Gentiles and what they were doing. And then Paul says something at the very end. He's talking about those who practice such things are deserving death. But he says, not only those who practice such things, but those who also approve of them. Those who condone it. Those who don't stand up for God's truth. They are sharing in the same reward. Let us stand up for God's truth and not back down whenever evil presents itself. We need to make sure our light is shining brightly. It says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your actions, see your good lifestyle, see your good speech, your good friends, your good clothing, your good everything, and glorify your God who is in heaven. That is portraying the Christian brand, is living a way that Christ is glorified. And our fruits are used to describe actions, and we can see them multiple times in Scriptures about bearing good fruits, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, and then Jesus preaching in Matthew 3, that any tree bearing false fruit, bearing bad fruit, would be cut down and thrown in the fire. And finally, thank you for your patience. Look at how we can protect the Christian brands. This might be the most important one there is out of all of them, is protecting it. We need to realize the seriousness of representing Christ. It's a serious business. Because the world has this under a microscope. I don't know if you realize that or not. Your friends around you that are of the world, they are watching every single thing that you do. Just waiting for you to mess up. Because they are waiting to show you your inconsistencies and to bury you. That's just how the world is. That's the way Satan works. Satan is waiting for you to trip up so he can just pound you and try to discourage you so much that you can't keep going. We're under a mic, so we know Stephen had a great lesson on talking about Satan and how powerful it is the way that he gets at us, didn't you? You talked about that, the way he gets at us. That's the only way he gets at us, is by the world constantly looking, waiting for us to mess up. Remember, that's the seriousness of protecting this brand. It takes years to build a good reputation, does it not? It takes years. But how long does it take to mess it up? Split seconds. And a reputation can be gone. It's possible to put Christ to shame. One thing in Hebrews chapter 6 talks about those who once were enlightened to go back and to live in the world, and they put Christ to an open shame, basically crucifying Him again. That's what the Hebrew writer writes. Crucify Christ again. Put Him to shame. We must walk circumspectly, walk carefully as we go through this world. We need to have our conduct honorable among the world, among the Gentiles, the way it's put in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. But we need to have our conduct honorable among this world. Don't give them a reason to get at you for slipping up. Have your conduct in a way that truly represents Jesus Christ, the way He would have us to. And a faithful representation of Christ earns us exactly what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy as he was finishing up that letter to the young preacher Timothy. He said, I have a crown of righteousness waiting for me, but not only for me, but for all the other ones too that love His appearing. For all those other ones that are representing Christ, that are carrying the Christian brand the way that He expects us to, we have a great reward. Absolutely great reward. We've seen these things this morning, the concepts of the Christian brand that we need. If you haven't created the Christian brand, do that this morning or this evening. Do that. Put on that Christian brand and start doing these things. Develop your character. Develop your brand as a Christian. Market that brand. Show the world that you're a Christian and stand up for God. And finally, do your absolute best to protect that brand. We don't want to put Christ to shame. We don't want to give people a reason to say, that's how a Christian should act. I don't think so. We don't want to give them that thing. We don't want to give them that example. Be the example we should be. May God help us to be the Christians He expects us to be and represent the Christian brand the right way. Thank you for your patience once again. It was good to be up here. It was good to see everybody, and I pray that God will bless us all in our lives as Christians as we serve Him. If there's one that might be here that might not be living this Christian brand the way you should, ask yourself that, are you living the Christian brand the right way? If you're not, and you're a Christian, you come forward and confess those sins and make your life right